Mmm, these are as delicious as ever, Bob.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. No one makes them better than me, I must admit.
How do you do it, Bob?
Well, I only use the very best onions.
Aha!
Yes, the very best.
Yes.
And I slice them carefully.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
That each slice mm-hmm. is nearly a perfect circle.
I can see that.
And then I dip them into a sublime batter.
Now, that's the key.
And then into the bubbling oil.
Ah, oh, so good.
Lord of the Rings.
They're so crunchy.
Will not be presented at this time.
Can I get a dipping sauce with this, too?
So we may bring you the following peculiar podcast.
Boy, them are really good onion rings.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
See, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's love and time.
All right, Foster, let's see if we can fool them again.
Yeah, okay, Cashman, do
one
it.
One more time. You know, I used to hate being called by my last name.
Why would you say that, Cashman? It's a great last name.
No, it's not a great name. It's not a question of the last. But when people call you that, to me, it just seems unfriendly. Your first name is the friendly name.
Right.
Hey, Larry, how you doing? But when you say, hey, Jenkins, what's going on? It just... To me, it's almost rude.
Would you prefer Mr. Cashman? Is that
more
reverence and...
No, it's not reverent. I'm not seeking reverence. I'm seeking friendliness, shared camaraderie, that kind of thing. I don't care. Well, if my first name was... I was a woman named Hortense, I might prefer my last name.
Well, your nickname would be Whore, so you wouldn't want that.
Or maybe you would. I don't know. So, here we go. We're underway, and we're doing this again. I always wonder when is going to be the last time. Let me ask you this. Let's just say something horrible happened to me. So, we just learned that Cashman is gone. He shuffled off this mortal coil. Would you do a wrap-up podcast, commemorative, memoriam? And then how long would it be?
Oh, gosh.
How lengthy would it be?
Oh.
I mean, what could you say...
I got so much stuff. It would take,
you know, 3 minutes,
at least an hour.
Oh, okay.
Well, for me good. To get through all of it.
That's just so very kind of you. Thank you.
I would use all of what I have, and it's going to suck up about an hour.
Okay. Would you like me to send you some other material about me?
Oh God, no! I got plenty.
Are you sure?
I have plenty of stuff on you.
I kind of like to look it over before you use it.
Okay.
Sure,
I'll send you some stuff today that I'm planning on seeing.
Okay, that was a really stupid question. As you know, Lisa, I'm a big Mariners fan. I have been a fan since they began in 1977.
Oh, I know.
and so they, you know, they. It's fair to say they bewilder us most of the time. They are the only Major League Baseball team that has never been to a World Series.
Are you kidding?
Quite seriously.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, they're okay. It.
Then why, can I ask you a question as we go along your little story here, sir?
Hell yes.
Why on earth are you a fan if they are so, they fail miserably season after season? What's going on for you there? What's happening? Why are you a fan?
Well, it's like, let's say I'm married to the Mariners. If the Mariners were a person, okay. And I'm married, how petulant and small would I be to walk away because they have had some troubles, they failed a time or two, and I say, oh, okay, well, you've disappointed me, so I'm going to leave you now.
A time or two?
Well,
it sounds like chronic.
All right, but so what? I mean,
well, I'm just asking why.
Well, if you could say the reason they fail is because they don't care. They're not trying. They're doing it just to torque you off, Pat.
Oh.
If that was the case, then yeah, I'd walk away. But gosh darn it, Lisa, they're trying so hard.
It doesn't sound like it.
Anyway, they've had
from
finally,
where from where I'm sitting, it sounds like they are making a lot of money for doing a lot of nothing. I'm hearing a lot of can't going on right now. That's what I'm hearing.
I think your hearing is
But now you're telling me it's different now. You're telling me things have changed.
It's hopeful. Dare I even say the two words World Series? It's possible. I mean, maybe it's possible. Be about time. That's all I'm saying. At any rate, I think the reason I became such a big fan is because one of my first jobs when I came to Seattle, way back when, I think it was 1980, 79, 80.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the job. And they said, Pat, you're new here, but we want you to produce commercials for the Seattle Mariners because we are the Mariners TV station. Now, at that time, King only carried 15 games, but they were the Mariners station. And part of their deal was that the King would produce commercials or promos for the team, you know.
Got it.
A jacket giveaway night or something
right.
like that.
Got it.
Well, so I spent a lot of time in the front office working with some marketing people and got to know some of the players because it was my idea to put the players into the commercials. Now, that doesn't sound like such a big idea now, but nobody was doing that then.
Yeah.
And I thought, these guys are personalities. Let's feature them. They're the product we're trying to sell here.
Smart.
And so I got some players who were happy to participate, but most players didn't want anything to do with it. And, you know, when they found out they weren't going to get paid for it, it was just to promote the team and by extension themselves.
Huh.
So it was just a handful of guys that took part. One time I put a spot together. They were giving away jackets. You could get these team jackets, like to the first 30,000 people that showed up at the ballpark.
Wow, that's a pretty big deal. It's not like a little plastic cup or a dumb bobblehead. I mean, like a jacket?
No, they're actually plastic jackets. You know, okay. Real light.
They were paper jackets.
They might survive a light rainfall, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, got it.
But so they had this controversial player on the team. He was a third baseman, and his name was Lenny Randle.
A little full swing trickler by Otis down the third baseline. It looked like it might just stay fair, and Randle coming in. Make you forget Laurel and Hardy in a hurry, and he comes in. looked like your basic man with a broom to curler out on the ice and blows it foul.
I have never seen that before in baseball. If this is allowed, Kenny, that will be part of the arsenal, I'm sure, of the third baseman from now on, especially on AstroTurf. They may give him the base, and I think that's exactly what they're going to do. Because really, Lenny Randle interfered, as we watch it on the instant replay, never touched the ball, but he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
Lenny passed away maybe a year ago, something like that. Really flamboyant guy, and he fancied himself to be something of a singer, and he put out a kind of a disco record. Here it is. Yeah, that's Lenny performing. So someone in the front office said, you know, Lenny's a singer, which I said, really? Based on that, you think he can sing? He said, yeah, he says he can. I said, okay. So I said, okay, and then I'm going to write some kind of song, and then we'll have Lenny perform it to promote Jacket Night at the ballpark. And so I put together this thing, kind of based on the song Mack the Knife. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Darin.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth there. And it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie Heath, babe. And it keeps it out of sight.
So it was based on that. And so I show up, I've got the song, I go over the lyrics with Mr. Randle, and I put him in a tuxedo, he's got a top hat, and other players behind him. So he goes and he sings, and Lisa, he was horrible. He was horrible.
I knew you were going to say that.
By any fair definition of horrible, he was it. as a singer. Fine ball player, but not a good singer.
Oh, so, poor so guy.
So now I'm in a pickle. What am I going to do? How am I going to save this? And I decided, I know what I'll replace his voice with someone else.
Yeah.
And so I hired this wonderful radio voice talent named Jay Green. And Jay did a really good Ray Charles singing impression.
Oh, nice.
So I said, give me just a little bit of Ray Charles. Here are the lyrics. And so this is the commercial. Obviously, there's video, but it still plays pretty well as just a radio commercial. Here's how the commercial turned out with the new voice singing.
Lenny Randle.
When the Mariners beat the Red Sox, pitching baseballs, out of sight. Every kid who's 14 and under, we want to come to Jack and I.
Get a free jacket. Get a free jacket. Get a free jacket. Get a free jacket.
Okay, so it looked good. It sounded good, and everything was good. And until I get a call from the front office at the Mariners office, and they said, Pat, Lenny Randle would like to see the commercial. I go, boy, you know, so could you bring it on down to the clubhouse today with your video recorder and show it to him? Yeah, okay. Okay. And I'm just thinking, oh man, this is going to be horrible. Poor Lenny's going to be so mad.
Uh-huh.
So I push the play button and I stand back and I watch him watching himself. His face broke into a delighted grin.
Oh,
he wanted me to play it five more times. Then he brings all the other players in and they say, "That's not your voice." Yes, it is.
Oh my God, he thought it was
him. He did. He thought it was him. I was so relieved. I thought, oh man, this has a happy ending, this story.
Very nice. Yeah. See?
See?
I love it. I'd never heard the story of you gaslighting a Mariners player before. I think that's fantastic.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm sorry I did it, but I'm not sorry I did it because it worked out okay. I couldn't have put the commercial on the air the way it was.
No.
So, yeah. I felt terrible. But it worked out. Worked out fine. Commercial played good. Jacket Night went over well, and there you have it. By the way, if you notice, I'm a little bit down.
Yeah, I do notice you're a little down. What's going on for you, sir?
Well, the drummer for the British band, The Pretty Things, Viv Prince, died. He was 84.
Oh.
Viv Prince, also known as the High Priest of Lunacy.
Oh.
Now, this guy was only with the band for a year and a half, but they were a ferocious band, and he was the most ferocious guy in it.
I'm on my own.
Not just his performances, which were insane on the drums, but also offstage. He was one of those, you know, one of the early people that started trashing their room as rock bands are wont to do,
mm-hmm.
Pulling stunts, creating chaos, damage, drinking and drugs and all that. Just insane. How he lived to be 84, I'll never know. But his name was Viv Prince, the High Priest of Lunacy. And some of their songs were this one, Rosalind. That's from 1964. And Don't Bring Me Down. Also from 1964. I just thought I'd bring it up because, you know, this is my new approach now. I'm going to mention these things along the course of the interview. Along the course of the podcast, rather than shove them all to the front.
Yeah,
of the show.
It's a good plan, Pat.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Hey, you seemed a little down a couple of weeks ago, too. And then I said, what's wrong? And then do you remember what you said? You said, well, I just heard about Robert Redford.
A little down.
Yeah.
I was bereft. Yeah. I was the most perfect man that ever walked the planet.
Wait a minute. You just said I was the most perfect man who ever walked the planet. You said that. That was your sentence just now. And no. let me play it for you again if you dispute that. Here it is.
I was the most perfect man that ever walked the planet.
There. Okay. So now do you want to?
That's not my voice. Wait a minute. Are you trying to gaslight me?
Kinda. A little bit of AI there. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh gosh. My mother was a huge Robert Redford fan.
Yeah.
And so her two celebrity crushes back in the 70s and 80s were Burt Reynolds and Robert Redford. But
I was going to say Joseph Cotton.
No. And that's how I became a fan, because she'd always drag me to those movies and I became a fan. And he just is just perfection in every way. His looks, his manner, his scandal-free, for the most part, life. Nobody really ever had anything bad to say about him.
That's what I want people to say about me when I check out. He was scandal-free for the most part.
I have that in my notes on the podcast commemorative episode I'll be doing. That's going to add a minute, though, to the hour I'm going to do. So,
oh, okay. All right.
But I'll stick that in there. But, oh, my gosh. It's just like they broke the mold.
Could have been an accident.
There was not a single thing wrong with Robert Redford. Not a single thing.
You walk right up, look her in the eye, and you say, "Ma'am, this is a robbery." And you show her the gun like this.
Well, he had, I shouldn't even bring this up.
What?
He had the little toe on his left foot kind of looked a little weird to me.
See, that.
Yeah, but that was it.
Just keep a sock on it. It's fine.
Somebody wrote a piece that I really liked following his passing. They remembered that he had been in an episode of The Twilight Zone.
That's right.
Early in his career, and how wonderfully charismatic and captivating he was, even in that rather small role way back when. The story is that there's an old woman. She's very old, and she's facing death, and he comes in just off the street, and pretty soon you realize he is
Mr. Death.
But he makes it look like, okay, dying won't be so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy's going to check me out. Okay, won't be so bad.
You tricked me. It was you all the time.
I had to make you understand. Am I really so bad? Am I really so frightening? You've talked to me? You've confided in me? Have I tried to hurt you? It isn't me you're afraid of. You understand me. What you're afraid of is the unknown.
There was an old woman who lived in a room, and like all of us, was frightened of the dark. But who discovered in a minute last fragment of her life that there was nothing in the dark that wasn't there when the lights were on. Object lesson for the more frightened amongst us, in or out of the Twilight Zone.
He could get me to do anything, like anything.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Anything.
Would you jump off a cliff at the end of the movie like he and Paul Newman did?
Oh. Yes, I would.
Okay.
Keep going. What else you got?
He was 89 years old. We'll get back to some of these others in a bit. I wanted to play you something off of my Alexa. Here we have that. People, that's not even called an Alexa.
I'm not sure how to help you with that.
She's already arguing with you.
Why didn't they pick a more obscure name? Like I mentioned earlier, Hortense.
Like Hortense would have been great.
Yeah. I mean, I know a couple of women with that name. Alexa. And so this, it's always going off like that. So you can, among other things, you can ask her, the robot device, it's called an Echo. You can ask, what are my packages? Or
when you order something on Amazon, she will tell you that either a delivery has arrived or it's time to order more dog food or ointment, which is a little embarrassing. I hate that when she like does that in the middle of a dinner party. Like, yeah. Oh, by the way, it's time to order more butt cream. I'm like, thanks very much. Thank you. But yeah.
Yeah, that is humiliating.
Yeah.
That, well, anyway, this is something Patty ordered, apparently.
Okay.
And so we said, hey, Alexa, what's my order? And this was her reply.
For Patty. Nerovian women's jumpsuits, casual t-shirt, romper, half sleeve, loose jumpsuit, beam, foot baggy overalls is on the way.
Wow, that's quite a title of a product.
Yeah, isn't it though? But that's pretty exhaustive, and here it is again.
Nerovian women's jumpsuits, casual t-shirt, romper, half sleeve, loose jumpsuit, beam, foot baggy overalls is on the way.
Oh, jeez. What the? Wow, that's a lot. It sounds like a lot, but it's probably just one little package.
And here's the thing, Lisa. It was for me.
Oh, Pat.
Did you like it? Got the foot beam, half sleeve, baggy loose overall, foot to t-shirt, pajama. Did you like it?
Yes, I love it. In fact, I'm wearing it right now. While this outfit looks good on me, mm-hmm. I think it would have looked even better on the late Claudia Cardinale.
Oh, jeez.
Who passed away at the age of 87. You don't know who that is?
No, you always mention dead people that nobody knows who they are.
She was in 150 movies, Miss Foster.
What?
150. She was called Italy's Dream Girl. Claudia Cardinale. I'm not sure how to pronounce the last name. Yeah, she was in movies like 8 and a Half. Fellini film.
Oh, that steamy Mickey Rourke Kim Basinger movie?
I don't know about that, but she was in one called The Leopard and Sergio Leone's Once Upon a Time in the West. That's a good movie.
You're sort of a handsome man.
But I'm not the right man. And neither is he.
Maybe not.
Oh, she's pretty. She's very pretty.
Yeah, she's right pretty, that one was.
Sure.
And then she was in the Pink Panther, too. It took a turn in an American movie or two. Yeah.
With Peter Sellers? Yeah.
She checked out. She's 80, she was 87. All right. We'll get back to some of that. What's going on with you? Anything?
I had a fight with a woman. I had a fight with a woman in the bookstore today.
Today?
I'm still really mad.
Spill it.
All right. It's not that exciting of a story, but
okay. You get us all excited.
Well, I don't want to oversell it.
Well, you already did.
And it's not lost on me that I'm most of the problem here. Okay, so
you know what I do, Lisa? When I have a story that it doesn't have a lot of substance to it, I just make stuff up. Embellish it. So please embellish the story.
I will. You're
in a bookstore.
I'm in a bookstore, and I'm meeting a woman who's on our local garden committee. And my
president of the Garden Society.
Yes, you got her. How did you even know?
It just sounds like that's how she would sound.
How well do you think I'm going to get along with people of that ilk in the Garden Committee?
I think you'd get along great because you're very amiable and accepting of other people's priorities.
And don't forget patient.
Patient. and eager to have people drive by your house and climb over the fence to look at your garden.
The fields are always wet with rain. After a summer shower, when I saw you standing in the garden. In the garden, wet with rain.
So they had contacted me because my garden was in the garden tour a couple years ago, and I had expressed some interest.
I remember that.
Yeah, and I was very proud of that. It was quite an accomplishment, and I had expressed some interest in possibly doing, working with the committee in the upcoming years, blah, blah, blah. So this lady reaches out and says, all right, well, let's meet for coffee at Third Place Books, and I'll tell you a little bit about what we do and blah, blah, blah. So the proceeds from the tickets for the garden tour, Lisa,
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, geez.
It just occurred to me that maybe you shouldn't say the name of the bookstore, Third Place Books. So just for the sake of this podcast, let's say it's the Fourth Place Bookstore.
Okay. All right. You know what the third place means, though?
I'm always worried about litigation. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm overthinking this thing.
Do you think people listen? Is that what you're saying?
No. But I mean, potentially they could, or they might know somebody that could or would. Or
well, it's not Third Place Books' fault that this conversation went sideways. So why would they sue me for saying this?
I don't know. I haven't heard the rest of the story.
Although the barista was a little snippy with me today.
Okay,
so,
that's going to get us in trouble.
All right, fine. Well,
we're in a very litigious time. They're taking broadcasters off the air. And
that's true. I didn't
podcasters. Think about that. Podcasters are next.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So back to your story.
So I meet with her, and she's talking about the proceeds from these garden tour tickets go to the arts, which I think is great. It supports the local arts. It goes to the art council. It's all about the arts, blah, blah, blah. And she starts talking a little bit about, you know, marketing and what they kind of need. And I said, yeah, you know, I said, it looks like the website needs a little work because it's a little difficult. Doesn't seem updated. And she,
well, I'm the one who created
exactly.
it.
She immediately bristled and said,
oh, no.
Oh, well, don't tell Hortense that because she's the one who does it. And that would be insulting. And I said, okay, well, I'm just telling you, it's confusing to look at and needs to be updated. I'm not meaning to be insulting. I'm just being. We kind of got off on the wrong foot there because I wasn't.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
And I said, and I also noticed too that you don't have much of a social media presence. And I said, you know, Instagram and TikTok are really good to start getting the word out because they just rely on local newspaper. Nobody reads the local newspaper, and they have an outdated Facebook page. So
I am the business editor of the local newspaper.
Exactly.
So this newspaper is dying, and you're helping.
She's just had it with me like 10 minutes in because I'm like, well, if I were on the committee, I would do this and that, blah, 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 blah. And I said, so social media would be really important. And she goes, I don't do social media. And I said, well, my dear, it doesn't matter whether you do social media. Your event should probably have some sort of social media presence if you want to have people attend this. Now, they typically have a few hundred a year. So a few hundred people, and it's a one-day event, and they typically have, you know, 400 or 500 people come. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I said, you know, if you want to get the word out, what she was saying, getting the word out. And I said, gosh, you know, having TikTok and Instagram, because this is very, you know, image heavy, the gardens could be on Instagram. I mean, it'd be fantastic. And she then goes, well, we don't want 2,000 people coming now, do we? And I went,
why don't you?
I said, well,
you want to raise money for the arts, don't you?
Exactly. And so I said, well, it's okay. You can cap the tickets. Like, you know, if you don't want 2,000 people, you just cap the tickets at whatever, you know, amount. Oh, well, we can't do that because we make so much money on day of ticket sales. And the whole conversation went this way, Pat, not just that little piece, but the whole conversation. And I just looked at her and I said, you know, I said, everything I've brought up, you have just shit on and said, no, it's a bad.
I was going to say shut down, but
shit down, shut down. She just crapped all over it. And she was she was very not. And I said, I just feel like maybe I don't know. And I was really firm. I said, I feel like you're not really open to any ideas here. Oh, no, we're very open to ideas. And I'm like, the f- you are. No, you're not.
You didn't say that to her.
No,
did
I didn't.
You?
No, I didn't say that. In my head, I did. But I was still really like, you know, I don't feel like I'm communicating. We're communicating well. And I don't think this is going to be a good fit. And she said, I don't think it's going to be a good fit either. And she took her purse and stomped out of the bookstore.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, but I feel badly because she's this old blue hair woman who has nothing in her life. And I just crapped all over her garden committee.
Well, you're
so I'm a horrible person.
You're trying to bring her out of the horse and buggy world into the.
And then get this. So we're sitting there and there's community tables at fourth place books.
Yeah.
And this is where if you're sitting in a chair and somebody comes up and they're like, can I sit? Of course, come sit. It's the table's open. Of course. So she and I are sitting there arguing over shit. And this really nice woman comes up and she goes, hi, is it all right if I go, of course. And
can I join in your argument?
And this woman looks at her and goes, yes, but we're having a conversation here. And I looked at her and I go, so what? I looked at the other woman. And I go, pay no attention to her. Please have a seat, my dear. Put your sandwich down in your coffee. And I looked at the other woman. I'm like,
You landed a verbal haymaker. Good job.
My God. And so now I'm sure she's going to go back. So they're having their committee meeting in a couple weeks. And I'm trying to debate whether I should go.
No, no.
I think I should just go. She told me, well, you know, we meet October 7th in the Statler room at the thing. If you want to reconsider. No. I don't want to reconsider. I can't imagine this half hour I've spent with you has been awful. I can't imagine trying to plan anything with you. And, you know, because I wanted to go, is everybody on the committee like you? Because no, that's not going to work for me.
Yeah. So, well, and then she'd have the bully pulpit. She could humiliate you in front of all of her allies there. Now, you don't want to go to that thing.
Oh, you think she would humiliate? You don't think I could
I have no doubt you could in fact
annihilate her.
If it comes to fisticuffs now you're talking. I'd love to see you cold cock an old bag like that.
Yeah, she just, but part of me is like, what a difficult old woman who just is like, okay, then I don't think I have anything for you guys then. Now,
do you have any regrets that maybe you could have handled it differently in terms of the language you used or the approach you took?
I didn't say any swear words at her. I'm just, those are things I was thinking.
Well, I know, but could you have said, could you have phrased, you'd get the same message out.
Of course I could.
A little more diplomacy, you know, and I'm not saying you should, but.
No, you're not wrong, sir. I am not known for my diplomacy when things become ridiculous and redundant. And I already told you know me, my patience does not last long at all. And that is, I do a lot of things very well in this life, but that is one thing I'm not very good at.
Dead woman, take it slow, it'll work itself out fine. All we need is just a little patience.
She was so annoying.
Well, she sounds like it, but you know, if we were going to do an honest podcast here, I should bring her on for equal time. Oh, look, she's here. Hello.
I wonder what her side of it.
Yeah, because you got all down here to my place. But
I'd love to hear her side of it.
Right. Hello. What is your name?
My name is Margaret Weitzel.
Margaret Weitzel.
Yes.
Do you realize that you have come on to the Lisa and Pat podcast?
I know exactly where I've come because I have something to say.
All right. The floor and most of the couch is yours.
I want to say that I have never met a ruder, more nasty, saucy woman than that Lisa Forrester.
I'm saucy. I am saucy.
All right. Is that all you wanted to say? I forgot what your name was already.
Margaret.
Is it Margaret?
Yes, it's Margaret.
Okay, can I call you Maggie?
No.
All right. Anything else you want to add to your vehement remarks about Miss Forrester?
Only that I drove by her house earlier today, and there are weeds everywhere. We don't want your kind in the garden club. I'm gone.
Oh, God, Pat, you're so funny. It's so true.
She's split.
I'm like, I am not going to mesh with the garden club women.
You're not. You're not born to do that.
I'm not born to be in the garden club.
Garden club sounds to me like such an anachronism anyway. I didn't know they had those anymore. That sounds like something from...
Oh, yes, they do. And they are very particular about their stuff in the garden club. So if you want to know more, just give old Margaret a call and she'll tell you.
She just came back in. What is it?
I also smelled weed coming from her house. I believe she's growing marijuana in her garden. I can't have that.
She's gone again.
Oh, man.
Maybe she should have some, man.
You really torqued her off.
She had a big stick upper on it, for
now, maybe,
sure.
Maybe she literally did, and you maybe give her a little slack for that.
No, and you're right. And I even at one point said, look, you seem like a lovely lady, even though I didn't believe that. I just said, you seem like a lovely lady. I just don't think that being part of your committee is going to be a good fit for me. Yeah, I know. I don't think so. And then she took her toys and stomped off and is like...
Well, if she stomped off, then you could make her pretty uncomfortable if you show up at that meeting.
That's what I'm saying, Pat.
That might be... Oh, I see. I'm starting
what
to
get
it.
What if I just show up and sit in the corner and say nothing?
Yeah. Just sit there. Throw darts at her.
Yeah, you know she's ragging on me right this very minute. This just happened a few hours ago. You know right now she's ragging on me to the other garden matrons in the right now. And I doubt I'll ever even, my garden will probably never, ever be in the garden tour again. In fact, probably come and burn it to the ground tonight. Well, I'll get up in the morning and there'll be no more garden. It'll be burned.
Yeah. Well, do you get any compensation for being on the garden tour?
No, it's just it's purely an ego thing.
Yeah, so you don't need, who needs it?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
who needs that?
You're right.
Plus, then you have to work hard to get your garden looking spiffy and everything. And that,
which I did, yes.
With no payback for that. I mean, you got better things to do.
You're right, Pat. I don't need those women.
We don't need you either.
Oh, for crying out loud. Would you lock that door, please? Lock the door.
Yeah. So, anyway, I just wanted to let you know.
All right. Well, that's a good... That turned out to be a pretty good story after all.
I went to a garden party to reminisce with my old friends. A chance to share old memories and play our songs again.
Not proud of myself.
Can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
But that's just the way things go sometimes.
Well, at least they went better than they did for Sonny Curtis, who
passed
away.
What happened to Sonny Curtis?
He passed away at the age of 88.
Sonny
wrote hundreds of songs.
Oh.
I Fought the Law.
And the law won, that one?
That one, yeah.
Oh, I love this song.
Well, breaking the rocks in the hot sun, I fought the law and the law won.
The one called Walk Right Back.
I want you to tell me why you walked out on me.
But he might be most famous for writing the Mary Tyler Moore theme.
Ah, for heaven's sake.
How will you make it on your own?
And that's him singing, by the way.
Love is all around, no need to waste it. You can have the town, why don't you take it? You might just make it after all.
Really? I never knew. Isn't that funny? That's such a popular, everybody knows it, and we never knew who was the voice or the lyricist behind it. Interesting.
Well, now we do. It's Sonny Curtis.
Sorry, Sonny.
Yeah.
You're gonna make
Here's something my cousin told me about. I have a cousin named Tony, and his family has a ranch down near, I'm speaking to you from Central Oregon, near the town of Bend. Well, if you drive south and a bit east, you'll come into a little community called Silver Lake. Tony and his family, they owned a big spread down there. They called it a ranch, but it wasn't really a ranch house. They didn't keep cattle there. They let other people put their cattle on it, but it was just a place to go. We spent a lot of time there as kids. There was a creek that ran through the place, and we'd go fishing there, and it was really fun. Well, Tony's did most of the work on this ranch. It probably takes about it's about 70 miles from here. So he had to drive down there, and he'd have to, you know, paint the house or fix a screen door, and he was always the go-to guy. He was handy. He could do most anything. Mm. But what he couldn't do was fix a problem he had on a truck, and his truck wasn't running properly. So he decided, I better go into the town of Silver Lake and see if they've got a mechanic in there that can help me fix my truck. So he flags somebody down on the highway, and they go into Silver Lake. It's not too far away, but it's not walking distance either. So he gets there, and the guy says, "Oh, yeah, you're going to want to talk to Spud. Spud is the mechanic here. He can fix anything." "Okay, where is Spud?" "Spud is down there at the auto service shop. Walk and say, 'Hey, Spud,' and he'll react." "Okay, thank you." So he goes in there, sticks his head in the door of the place, and says, "Spud?" Guy goes, "Yeah, I'm Spud." "Oh, hi. My name's Tony. We got a little spread up the road here, and my truck is broken down. I'm wondering if you..."
"I probably can fix it. Yeah. Okay, let's go."
So they get into this guy's truck, Spud's truck, and they're driving to the ranch. And Spud says,
"My name is Spud. They call me that because some people thought I looked a little bit like Mr. Potato Head. I got shot in the head about 5 years ago. They never could get the bullet out.
Oh, my God.
But it hasn't affected me at all. I'm everything's fine. My memory's just fine."
"Okay, that's very interesting." So they drive on for about another minute or two. He goes,
"My name is Spud. They call me that because some people thought I looked like Mr. Potato Head.
Oh, my God.
You know, I got hit in the head with a bullet a few years ago."
"Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear a word they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind."
Oh, God.
"But Spud fixed the truck.
People stopping still. I can't see their faces, only the shadows of their eyes."
How many times did he fix it?
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. That's cool.
Here's our joke for the day. All right?
Okay. All right.
Okay. This is, again, off the top of my head. I saw this joke recently. So I don't have a joke book. This came, I don't know where I got it.
Oh, this is just being pulled right out of your noggin. I can't wait.
I pulled out of something. Here, okay. Here it goes. So there's a lawyer who's standing proudly in front of his brand new Porsche. It's right in front of a building where he practices law. Beautiful car, glistening. It's gorgeous. Mm.
Yeah.
And he wants to show his friends, his other lawyer friends, his new car. He's really proud of it, and his ego is bursting to show them. So as they're all gathered around his car and coming over, he's parked just off the road onto a little side area there, right on the curb. And just then, a semi-trailer comes along, comes too close to his car, and takes off his door. The door gets ripped off.
Oh, jeez.
And this guy, this lawyer, he's just screaming, "Oh, my God! Look what you've done! Oh!" And of course, the semi guy is driven away, and he hit and run for him. The lawyer's beside himself. The police show up, and he's screaming at the police, "Did you see what just happened? This is my most beautiful car. I can take it to a car mechanic, but it's never going to be the same. It's never going to be the same." He's really upset.
Aww.
Maybe Spud could have fixed it, but otherwise...
Poor little lawyer.
Yeah, well, the policeman finally, he says, "You know what, sir? People like you kind of make me sick. I can't believe how materialistic you are. I mean, you're so focused on your possessions, you don't notice anything else.
Like what?
Ooh. Well, like the fact that your arm was torn off. The lawyer looks down at his missing arm and goes, "Oh my God, my Rolex!"
Jeez, very good.
Well, I think that joke sucks.
For listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.